Hello, this is Brian Tracy, and what we're going to do now is to record the parts of Speak to Wind that are missing. And so we'll start off with page 88, the top, through the bottom of page 95. 5, 4, 3, 2. Your job, prior to giving a group presentation, is to identify the four major issues that you will eventually come to in the course of your discussion, and then determine how you can offset, neutralize, or compensate for their major concerns so that you can be satisfied on your Your job, prior to giving a group presentation, is to identify the four major issues that you will eventually come to in the course of your discussion, and then determine how you can offset, neutralize, or compensate for their major concerns so that you can be satisfied on your major concerns. Presentation versus negotiation. The principles remain the same. When you make a presentation to a small group, the process may not be as lengthy or as dramatic as a 2 or 3 day negotiating session with huge amounts of money and egos at stake, but the principles remain the same. You must think through the concerns of the participants in the meeting and the four main issues on which you will have to get agreement if you want to proceed. You then design your entire presentation so that you achieve that goal at the end of the discussion. Think on paper. When making a business presentation, you should think on paper. Write down all the objections that an intelligent person could give you for not proceeding with your idea or accepting your recommendations. Then write out one or more logical answers to each of those objections. When the question, concern, or objection comes up, you should treat it with great respect and appear to think carefully about how you might best address that concern. Express acceptance, agreement, and appreciation. Then, present your already carefully considered answer to the objection as though it just occurred to you in the last few seconds. Always appear reasonable and agreeable. Whatever the concern, resistance, or objections might be to your idea, always treat it with friendliness, courtesy, and grace. Never throw gasoline on the fire. The more low-key and friendly you are when you deal with the concerns or antagonisms of people in your meeting, the more open they will be to considering your ideas. Remember the lyrics to the song, "A spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down." Repeat. Always appear reasonable and agreeable. Whatever the concern, resistance, or objection might be to your idea, always treat it with friendliness, courtesy, and grace. Never throw gasoline on the fire. The more low-key and friendly you are when you deal with the concerns or antagonisms of people in your meeting, the more open they will be to considering your ideas. Remember the lyrics, "A spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down." When you give a small group presentation, remember that it is not a dramatic monologue. It's a conversation. Present a point, wrap it up and summarize it, and then invite questions or comments from the participants. Get them involved. The more you can involve the participants in the discussion as you go along, the better sense you will have for how they are thinking and feeling, and the more likely it is that they will agree with you at the end of your presentation. There's a special feature of group dynamics that you need to include in your presentations. It is this. Each member of the group feels that you are personally treating him or her the same way that you are treating any other member in the group. Group solidarity. When you treat any member of the group with friendliness and respect, every member of the group feels as if she too is being treated with friendliness and respect. Each member of the group feels that he is part of a whole. On the other hand, if you treat any member of the group with irritation or impatience, the other members of the group feel that you are treating them the same way. So, be careful. Determine the pecking order. Even though you must treat everyone equally, when you make small group presentations, you must be very alert to the pecking order of the members of the group. In many groups, one of the members is more important than the others. his or her opinion, expressed verbally or non-verbally, carries more weight than that of anyone else. From the top person on down, there is a descending order of priority. Someone is first in importance. Someone is second. Someone is third in importance. Some people attending the meeting will have little or no clout at all. For you to make an effective presentation, you must be clear who carries the most weight, and then organize your presentation so that you continually address the most powerful person in the group. In some cases, the top person will say very little. In other cases, the top person will say a lot. When I was in the Arabian Gulf recently, I read up on the negotiating techniques and strategies of people in the Arab world. What I learned was that in any meeting, the person who sits quietly and says the least is the most powerful person in the room. The person who speaks the most and asks the most questions is the messenger boy and is often the least powerful or consequential in the negotiation. If I had not read that, the most talkative person might have unduly impressed me. In Western negotiating, the top person may say a lot or say a little. In any case, it's important that you know who this person is and that you defer to this person on a regular basis. You direct your comments to this person and then sweep the room, making eye contact with the other important people one at a time. You then come back to the top person and make sure that he or she is following you and understands the points that you are making. Now, there's a direct relationship between the amount of involvement in a conversation and the amount of commitment to the agreements made in the conversation. When you are talking with staff members, for example, the more you invite them to ask questions, comment, and agree or disagree, the more they will buy into whatever decisions people make. If people are not commenting or asking questions, they are not committing. They are merely listening. By not saying anything, they are avoiding participating in whatever decision is made and evading any responsibility for carrying out the decisions or the actions. Alfred P. Sloan, one of the founders of General Motors, would often convene a group of executives to discuss a new company, product, or policy. At the end of the meeting, he would ask, "Are there any questions or comments on these ideas?" If no one said anything, or if everyone agreed with the ideas presented, Sloan would say, "Obviously, the people in this room do not understand the importance of what we are discussing. If everyone is in agreement, then we must convene this meeting and reconvene at a later time. At that time, I expect comments and disagreements from the people around this table." What Sloan found, and what many executives and presenters find, is that if no one is saying anything, or if everyone is in agreement, no one has really given the idea much thought. This means that they will only start thinking about the ramifications of the discussions later, and this later thinking can sabotage the entire effort. Take a power position. When making a presentation to a small group, organize the room so that you have your back to a wall and the entrance is opposite you. With this setup, people can come and go without breaking up the flow of the meeting, and you can see each of them. The best setup for a small group presentation is a U-shape, in which you stand and present at the open end of the U. All the participants should sit around the outside of the U-shape so that almost everyone can see almost everyone else, eye to eye, across the tables. This setup is totally different from one in which everyone sits facing you, but next to, in front of, or behind the other participants. There is little or no communication or opportunity to share ideas, even by smiling, raising eyebrows, shrugging shoulders, and so on. Always try to set up the room so that everyone can see everyone else and see you as well. When I conduct a strategic planning session, I put all the executives on the outside of a U-shaped table. When I bring up a point or a question, I go around the table person by person and invite him or her to answer or comment. This method has been extraordinarily successful for me over the years. It gives every single person a chance to voice her ideas or concerns and gives every other person a chance to watch and listen to the speaker express his or her thoughts. By the time we go around the table, we have had a rich, in-depth discussion that has covered a large number of points. Determine the next action. Remember, the purpose of a presentation, large or small, is to agree on an action of some kind. As the conversation evolves, you should be continually asking, what action do we take at this point? What action should we take on this issue? What is our next action if we are in agreement to this? When you're making a group presentation and a series of different actions is required, it's essential to get agreement from the group about exactly who is going to be responsible for the action and when it will be completed. Many excellent presentations that end with agreement on a course of action result in nothing happening. This is always because no one was assigned specific responsibility with a deadline for carrying out the actions that were agreed upon. Even if you have to repeat yourself or be a little demanding or assertive, it's essential that you get agreement on who is going to do what and by when if you are running the presentation. It's the ultimate goal of the presentation and the meeting. Your ability to follow up and ensure that these actions are taken is what gives the planning and the presentation value. Make it visual as well as auditory. In any group of people today, about 70% of the participants will be visual in orientation. The other 30% will be auditory. What this means is that 70% of the audience, the visuals, will need to see the facts, points, and illustrations in order to understand and process what you are saying. The other 30%, the auditories, will be able to understand and process the information simply by hearing it from you. As a result, 70% of your audience will probably only understand you if you illustrate what you are saying as you go along. Write down your presentation agenda so these people can follow. You could use PowerPoint for your key points, bringing them up on the screen one at a time as you make the points in your presentation. You can use a whiteboard or a flip chart to write down key points or to illustrate the ramifications and results of your presentation. People who are visual in orientation relax and take comfort when they can see your presentation unfolding. Auditories, on the other hand, are quite content with written or graphic material, but they very much like to hear what you have to say and will often ask questions about your specific meaning for a particular word or phrase. Be prepared. When I began to give seminar presentations, I started off using flip charts, then moved to a whiteboard, and now I use an overhead projector or a device called an Elmo. This allows me to write down my key points while they are projected on a screen behind or next to me. As I go through my presentation, I draw graphs, pictures, stick figures, and other illustrations to offer a visual representation of the key points I am making. When I emphasize a particular word or concept, I write it down clearly so that people can see it. As a result, people take an enormous number of notes. As soon as you write something down, people immediately sense that it is important and they write it down as well. This keeps them actively engaged in your presentation throughout. If you only speak with no written materials or illustrations, even the most brilliant mind will forget 80 to 90% of what you say before the end of your talk. When you speak and write, you capture both the auditories and the visuals and make your presentation an interesting and enjoyable experience for everyone in the room. When you receive a question or comment from a participant in your audience, unless it is perfectly clear what the person is asking or what he means, you should do one of two things. First of all, you should rephrase the comment or question so that it is clear in your own mind before you respond to it. You can then say, "Is this the question you are asking?" A second way to be sure that you are responding to the correct comment is to ask the participant to rephrase his question in such a way that you understand it better. Use the question, "How do you mean exactly?" whenever there is any lack of clarity or ambiguity on your part. How do you mean exactly? The dumbest thing you can do is to set off to answer the wrong question or respond to a comment that you misunderstood in the first place. Here's the summary. Resolve today to prepare thoroughly and be at your best in every group presentation. Remember that people who can influence your career are watching and evaluating your performance. Each time you open your mouth in a group to persuade, contribute, or disagree, you are moving yourself forward or backward. And everything counts. Everything counts. We're now going to re-record pages 38 and 39 where there were birds singing in the background. 5, 4, 3. That evening, in front of 500 people at the dinner, he stood up and gave the identical speech he had given at the boardroom table. I only realized in retrospect that the board meeting had been his final dry run for what turned out to be a very important and consequential talk to a large group of important people. One way many people prepare for a speech is to go for a walk and give the talk as they go. As they walk along, they use their hands and faces and develop the talk. They use a mnemonic so that they can remember every part without notes. Some even raise their voices on certain points and pretend that they're speaking loudly to people in a large audience. Walking and talking is one of the most effective ways to prepare for a speech. Google the information you need. When you are speaking to a specific industry group, it's important that you at least appear well-informed, if not an expert. You can achieve this by using Google to find all the information available on that industry. You can also go to hoovers.com and look up industry statistics and trends, the major players in an industry, and the major events taking place in that industry group. When you weave this inside information into your talk to a specific group, you sound like an insider. You sound like someone who works in the industry, if not somewhere in the company. People are greatly impressed by a speaker who seems to know a lot about what they do for a living and the challenges they are facing in the current marketplace. Research the key people. Finally, one of your best forms of preparation is to find about... Repeat. Research the key people. Finally, one of your best forms of preparation is to find out about the key people in the organization that has asked you to speak. Look up their biographies on the internet. If a key person works for a corporation, her biography is often on the company website. Sometimes, you can ask the meeting planners for background information on the key people who are in the audience. When I speak to a group, I make it a point to learn the names and backgrounds of the key people, and then I weave their names into my talk as I go along. I will say something like, "You've probably heard Ralph Wilson make this point many times, that you have to persist in the face of all adversity. That's the sort of thing that he believes, and that's the reason for the success of this organization." I can confidently tell you that I've never been contradicted afterward. When you put positive words, thoughts, and ideas into the mouths of the key people in your audience, they will always be flattered and happy as a result, and you will look like a hero. So here's the summary. People often ask me what the secret is to effective public speaking. I always tell them that it starts with preparation. Fully 90% of your success as a speaker will be determined by how well and how thoroughly you prepare. Within a few minutes of opening your mouth, the audience will know how well you have prepared and either grade you up or grade you down. Your job is to prepare and over-prepare so that you sound like an authority from the first moment you begin to speak. The best news is that the more you plan and prepare, the more confidence you will have when you finally stand up to speak. When you have practiced your talk over and over again, you will feel a tremendous sense of personal power and calmness when you finally stand before an audience.